waiting, but you know, again, I'm being patient, persistent, and I'm waiting on the process. Amen? Amen. You know, that's my friend, y'all. I love her to life, and she's been a blessing to this ministry, and we're just grateful for her. All right, so Leviticus. So Leviticus, what we find, the book of Leviticus is about the Levite priesthood. And it gave them all these things that they could and they couldn't do. And the reason he gave them these things is because for God to be able to bless them the way that he wanted to bless them, there were certain things that needed to happen. And what we find here, you know, we talk about the praying and the sacrifice, and we sung the song this morning that, you know, that we'll provide the sacrifice, and he'll provide the fire. And if you read the chapter right above that, that's actually where that song kind of comes from. And that he tells them that you provide the sacrifice, and the sacrifice has some rules to it. It has to most of the time be an unblemished animal. It has to be something without blemish. Why is this important? Because it's the representation of Christ who is to come, who will come as the what? Ultimate sacrifice for sin. He'll be what? The firstborn. He'll be out without spot. He'll be out without wrinkle. He'll be perfect in every way. And these were the animals who were sacrificed for the atonement of sin. And the people who were able to do this was the Levite priest. So these priests would provide the sacrifice. And when God was pleased with the sacrifice, what would he do? He would provide the fire from heaven. Amen. The fire would come down from heaven and the fire would consume the sacrifice. And then this would become what we call a burnt offering. So the offering would be burnt. So how did you know your offering was good? Is that what? The fire came and it consumed it. If the fire did not come and consume it, then that means your offering was not accepted. And if your offering was not accepted, then you have what? The atonement of sin was not forgiven. So I want to read here today. So I wanted to give you a little bit of background of what's going on here. So you have the Levite priest. For the priest here, we have Aaron. Aaron being Moses' brother. We know Aaron is significant in the Bible because Aaron did most of the talking for Moses. I know we see Charleston Heston in that nice movie called The Ten Commandments, and Moses is going in there and he's telling Pharaoh, let my people go and this and that. But my Bible tells me that Aaron was a mouthpiece for Moses. Amen. So, you know, Hollywood has a way that they do things, but Moses had what they call a severe stuttering problem. Moses said that he was not of good speech. So therefore, God allowed him to use Aaron as his mouthpiece. So he would tell Aaron things, and Aaron would go before the Pharaoh and before the people and tell them the things so that he would come across as competent. And then they would go in and they would do whatever it is that he asked them to do, or whatever he said, and they would go from that point on. So Aaron here is very significant. Aaron has four sons, and his four sons are of priests. His four sons are priests. And out of the four sons, we're going to talk about two of them today. Two of the sons had some issues. Amen. You know, the thing is, you could be deemed and you could be finger been put on you and all this kind of stuff, but you could still have your own set of issues. Amen. You know, we talk about David. David was what? Told that he was going to be the king when he was a little boy. But David had some issues. David loved women. David loved battle. David loved killing people. Oh, come on now, go read your Bible. It's quite valid. He did a lot of things before he got to that part. But yet the Bible says that God finds what? David to be a man after his what? Own heart. So I find that to be interesting that even in all his things that he did and all the stuff that he went, that God still said that David's my guy. You know, we even find David to be an adulterer at some point and a murderer and a ladies man. I mean, all these different things that he did. Mm-hmm. You know, even at one point they said that David, they didn't know David was dead. So what did they do? They sent in a virgin. And said the king didn't stand up to attention, for lack of a better word. I got children here, amen. And they said, well, the king must be dead. Oh, come on, somebody. That's saying a lot about you. If that's the only way, they don't even go and check your pulse. They don't go and check a heartbeat, but they go send in a virgin because they like, you can't keep your hands off of him. Oh, come on, somebody. But yet, this is somebody of their own, God said, it's after his own heart. So I tell you, brothers and sisters, today that some of you be thinking like, I look at David and I get hope every time I read it. Amen. Because I'm like, well, Lord, if you said this man is after your own heart, I'm not measuring myself against David by any means, but it does give me a glimmer. I hope that there is some hope for me. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read here Leviticus 10, and I'm going to go verses 1 through 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein on their own and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And they went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is the Lord's faith, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So if I want to use for a subject for you today is, what is in the gap matters. What is in the gap matters. So we've been talking about that this is the year of the gap. And we talk about the gap meaning that we're standing in the bridge. We know we have loved ones and people that friends and people we meet in the streets that we want to be saved. And we desire them to be saved. And what we're saying is that we're being the intercessor on their behalf. And we're going to stand in the gap. And basically when I say I'm standing in the gap, what I'm going to do is I'm virtually allow myself to be a sacrifice in that they might walk across my back, or I might hang to somebody and mentor. I might be willing to pick up the phone in the wee hours of the morning to help somebody to break through and be somebody's prayer partner. This is what it's called standing in the gap for somebody. Amen. And since we said we're going to stand in the gap, just can't anything be in the gap. Just not anything can be in the gap. And what we find here is that Aaron's sons have been charged. These boys have been what? Labeled to be priests. They are what? People who stand in the gap. They stand in the gap for God's people. Why? Because these people do not have the ability to go to God for themselves. They have to do what? Rely on the priest to go to God before them. And they have been given some distinct instructions to do certain things when they go before God, because God is a holy God and you can't go before him any old kind of way. Oh, come on, somebody. See, when we're standing in the gap for people, you cannot just be standing in the gap any old kind of way. It's going to require you to clean up yourself a little bit too. Amen. It's going to require you to say, you know what? I got some things that have been set aside. I got some things that have not been seen, but they have been weights. Amen. There have been some things that slow me down. And you know, you can't be witnessing to people and people looking at you doing the same thing that you're doing. Amen. That, you know, I'm looking to change my life, but I look at your life, and if your life somewhere in my head equals my life, then how are you helping me? Amen. So people are looking that God is requiring us to be what? A living sacrifice. So that means that there's some things that I just can't do. There's some things I can't say. There's some places that I just can't go. Not because they're sin, but because I know you are watching. Oh, come on, somebody. That I cannot know that this is going to be a vice for you, and I still do it when I know that you're watching me. I don't do it just because you're watching me, but I'm doing it because I've made a conscious decision that I'm going to stand in the gap for you. See, I need you to understand today, brothers and sisters, number one, that there are no shortcuts to standing in the gap. See, what Aaron's sons try to do, they try to take some shortcuts, because God has already clearly told them the verse before that you provide the sacrifice and I will provide the fire. That I will provide the fire, because my fire is an all-consuming fire. My fire is a holy fire. My fire is a power from on high. And what do? They try to shortcut the process because they wanted to go do something else. How many of us have shortcut the process because of some of our own selfish desires? How many of us have cut people and brothers and sisters short because of something that we wanted to do? I'm here to tell you today that there's no shortcuts in God. That you have to go through what we got to go through. We got to be where we got to be. We got to pray when we're supposed to pray. We got to say what we got to say when we have to say it, and how he tells us to say it. If you notice here, he kills them. Why? Because they don't do it the way he asks. God has given some of us very specific instructions on how to address some people. And I believe that the people in this church are different and unique. And God has given every one of you a different ministry. You know, Brother Lee cuts hair. And there's a place, and I believe that God has already put in his heart exactly how to do it. But it's up to him to do it. Amen. I can't come in and say, Brother Lee, well, this is the way I witness. I get it. But if you haven't figured that out by now, Safe House is not conventional. You do it the way that God tells you, because what I'm doing is what I didn't taught you the word. Now I'm empowering you, and I'm just going to hold you accountable. Why? Because they were like, well, you know what, that Lee guy, he was cutting my hair, and he said some things that made me think about things a little differently. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to be peeping around the corner. Is that Lee guy really about what he say he is? Mm-hmm. They're going to be asking guys, is he really like that all the time? Why? Not that they're looking for chinks in your armor. They just wanted to know, are you real? They want to know, are you authentic? Do you really believe what you say you believe? Do you really live what you live, say you live? Because we are in a way, in a society today, we have so much fake news and so many fake people, so many fake churches, so many fake everything around us. People are just looking for authenticity. I just want to know if you, what they used to say, are you the real McCoy? You know where the real McCoy came from? It's an African-American, actually, colloquialism, that McCoy was that. It was a black man who actually, I can't remember, he made leather or something. He made what? Oh, if you don't know then. But he made some stuff, right? And the thing was, his stuff was so well made. When people bought it, they were like, is that a real McCoy? Oh, come on, somebody. They were like, is that a real McCoy? And that, is that really the real deal? Because I know if McCoy's name on it, if he's hand put to it, if he did it, then it's going to stand the test of time. So when I need it, that it's going to do and perform. See, what people want to know is that the real Jesus? Because you know what? If I show you these issues I got, if I really show you what I'm dealing with, are you going to be able to handle this? Oh, come on, somebody. People are dealing with some really crazy stuff right now, y'all. And they want to know that if I open myself up to you, because I actually care enough about you, Felicia, that I'm not going to just put all this on you. So I want to know that you're the real deal, because I do care for you. But if you're what you say you are, then when I open up to you, you can handle what I'm about to reveal to you. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why if you decide that you're going to be in the gap, that we have to be prayed up, we have to be fasted up, that there is no shortcuts. And it's not looking for perfection, but they just want to know, are you real? They want to know, Brother Janet and I was talking to you. I said, yeah, boy, I just stepped in that pothole a couple of times. And it's not that I keep stepping in that pothole, but not only did I show them the hole I stepped in, but I showed them how God got me out of it. And it was come through what? Process. And basically, I was sharing with him on yesterday. I said, boy, I got a car I paid 20 years for. And he looked at me like, how do you pay 20 years for a car? I said, let me explain it to you. And I proceeded to tell him how one bad financial decision when I was early in my 20s haunted me all the way till I was about 35. I bought a car. You know, I needed a car. I was in graduate school. I didn't know nothing. 10% interest rate. I never, ever, ever, ever bought another car like that. Wasn't that the car was bad, but the deal was bad. Took that car, traded it in for another car. This thing called upside down. What did they do? They add the price of that car to the new car. I paid the new car off. I still got a balance. You know what I'm paying? The old car. And then I went to go get the next car. And you know what happened? At some point in time, as I revealed to him, I decided that this car here, I'm going to pay for. Oh, come on. You got to pay it at some point. I decided that, you know what? Come hell or high water, I'm going to stick in this one until it's completely paid off. And you know what? I ended up doing that, and I did it. But it was a price that I had to pay. Because what you do, and a lot of times, what we do is we continually just kick this can down the road. Oh, it's going to be somebody else's problem. No, it's not. It's going to circle back around to you. And at some point, you got to decide within yourself to say, okay, I'm not going to run anymore. I got to deal with this. Why? Because if I don't deal with it, it's going from the next thing to the next thing. For me, it was car to car. Some of you, it's relationships. Oh, come on, somebody. For some of you, it's relationships. Some of you, it's your finances. Mm-hmm. You don't pay this one, and then you pay that one, but then you don't want to pay this one, and then you wonder why you can't get things. You're not trustworthy. People, you know what your credit score say about you? They just say that you do what you say you were going to do. They say you was perfect. But you made some agreement. Do you not know that even if you can't pay a bill, you pick up the phone and you talk to them and they'll work something out? They just want to know that you're trying to pay them. They understand life happens. They do. I kid you not. They'll be more understanding than you think. But you know what? Don't make them happy when you don't pick up the phone. When you don't call them. When you don't tell them what's going on. Because all they see you did is just as bad as anybody else. Just don't want another one who don't want to pay. I'm teaching you some things. Remember, discipleship, empowerment, and now I'm going to hold you accountable. Because I want to see the people of God place. I don't believe in holy and poor. I don't live poor, and the people of God in this house don't live poor either. We have a couple of things. As the speaker said, we got a couple of coins. But that came through his power and his anointing. And I understand the couple of coins I got are not mine. That's why my house is open to our church. And we have things with that. Because what I have is what? I'm just a steward of his resources. I'm just a manager. My car is your car. If you need it, we need to go, we'll go. Because that's the place that God has me right now. And that's where I'm at. So there's no shortcuts. What else do we learn from this story? Number two, know the cost. Being in the gap is going to cost you something. When you don't do it right, it can possibly cost you your life. We find here what that the two sons did what? They did it wrong and it cost them their life. They lived a life of sacrifice. They had to do things certain ways. They couldn't just go where they wanted to go. They couldn't say what they wanted to say. They had to do things the way that God, excuse me, he had laid it out for them to do. And when they decided to do something contrary to that, it cost them their lives. Now, I wonder, you know, I often ask myself, like, Lord, but did you have to kill him? Why did he allow them to die? And see, this is the thing. When you look at it, God didn't kill anybody. What he does is he removes his hand. The Bible says that what? The enemy comes to do three things: kill, steal, and destroy. Do y'all not know that's only three things he can do? Kill, steal, and destroy. And the reason he don't do them to us is because of what? He has a hedge around. You don't believe me? What did Job say? He said, he told Job, he said, what about my servant Job? And he said, what about Job? He said, I can't do nothing because you got a what? A hedge around him. He said, remove the hedge. And he told him, do anything you want, but don't what? Touch his life. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, and you going to tell me? This is where we are. So God, and what? He removed the hedge. The devil wants all of us. Do you not know how dangerous it is to get in your car every single day? Do y'all not know we live in structures and buildings that we I don't know about you, but my house, we got gas. It don't take one gas leak and we in there snoring, and that be the last time we snore? Could you breathe in some deadly gas? Or it just take one bad spark from somewhere at somebody else's house and it could blow the whole neighborhood? Do y'all not know how easy it is for us to be checked out of here? But it's God's hand that's on us that allows us to still be here. So he removes his hand. Why? He had to show that what? If you are disobedient on that level, he had to deal with you swiftly. Because if not, what it did is it allowed the people to do whatever they wanted to do. Oh, they didn't follow God's rules and nothing happened to them. So what do you think is going to happen? And they said, when the cat's away, the what? The mice will play. So if nothing happens to the highest priest when they break protocol, if nothing goes on when they are out of line, if God doesn't chastise them, then what do you think the people do? They think it's a free fall for them. This is why it's a scary place for these preachers and people to be in places of authority and be abusing people, abusing God's people, and taking advantage of God's people. Because God's got to deal with them. If not, he got to apologize to these boys. Uh-huh. That's why you don't want to run to be up here. This is not an easy life. Because I'm accountable to you all. I told you all today that, hey, you said I told you get out of here, get out of here. That's part of my accountability. I have to be first partaker of the fruit. Do you see what I'm saying to you this morning? So, number two, know the cost. Remember, number one is no shortcuts. Number two, know the cost. Because standing in the gap is going to cost you something. But you know the thing about costing you something? He provides. It costs you, but he provides. Everything it costs you, he provides. That's why we were singing this morning, said, you provide the fire, I be the sacrifice, and what I'm going to do, well, I'm going to open myself up, and you fill me up, Lord. Because everything they took from me, you're going to give back to me to give back to them. So remember, what are we? We are the sacrifice. We're standing where? In the gap. We are the middleman. God gives it to us because we have connection to God and he's given us connection to them. So he puts it in my hand. I take the part I need and the rest of it is to be what? Passed. So think about the Bible. We always talk about what? Fill our cup, Lord. And fill our cup to what? It overflows. The cup being filled is for you, but the overflow is what? For somebody else. The cup is your need. When we talk about giving, what do? You give out of your what? Your abundance. See, there's a difference between offering and sacrifice, right? So, you know, sometimes we say we want an offering, and then we ask for what? A sacrificial offering. Now, everybody ain't going to teach you this. But see, when you ask for an offering is out of what? Your overflow. It's the part that I got. It's my fat. Okay? A sacrificial offering is what? Out of my need. That's why sacrifice. Because I need it. Is it a sacrifice for you if you don't need it? Think about that for a moment. If you don't need it, if you got hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, it's not a sacrifice. But if I ask you to give sacrificially, you have to get out of your need. Like, oh, okay, I got 100,000, but if I gave 105,000, man, that's gonna hurt. That's the sacrificial offering. And if you notice, he didn't always ask us for that. There are times that he's asked for it. But most of the time, he's just asking us to give offering. And some of us struggle with that. And the offering is what? Out of your fat. Well, some people, well, I ain't got no fat. No, that's not true. Go back and reevaluate. Your fat, you just eating it.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Me included, too. I mean, I'm included in that. What I mean by eating it. And that there's some other things I like to do. You know, I got some cars I like to ride around. They cost a bunch of gas to put in there. You know, it cost me $100 to put gas in there to ride up and down to the store and back. You know, but those are my little things I like to do, my little hobby. That's fat. That's not necessity. Necessity is what? We eat, we got somewhere to put on our head, and clothes on our back. Anything else outside of that is what? Fat. Much as we think these cell phones are necessity, that's really fat. You got along just great before you had them. I remember a time that we didn't have them. Think about it. People are like, oh, I can't live without my phone. You did. You probably live better without it. Mm-hmm. So there are times, but what we've gotten is, we got to a point of what? That we become comfortable with these things. And now these things, we see these things as necessity when they're really not necessity. It's really just more the fat things. And see, these are the things, this is when it starts to hurt a little bit, because now you're starting to say, okay, God, you know, I like cable, but it's fat. But you say, I ain't got this to give to God. Yeah, you do. You eating the fat. And what happens if you eat fat long enough? You'll get sick. See, and if you notice, when God comes in, and you, if you read a little bit more in the Leviticus priesthood here, when God comes in and he burns up the burnt offering, you hear him talking about what? Burning up the fat. What is the fat? Because the fat turns to the oil. Y'all don't see this thing? The fat turns to the oil. Woo, this thing is good. It turns to the oil. And what's the oil? The anointing. We eating the fat. You don't eat it. It's not being given. It's the sacrifice. So when God consumes it, that's how you get the oil. That's how you can walk with that anointing on your life. And they said, man, I don't know about something, but every time I got to this barbershop, I want you to cut my hair. I don't know about, but every time, you know, I want you to cut my grass. I want you to teach my kids. Matter of fact, can I pay you to come after some work to come teach my kids some more? That's how you get those kind of blessings. That's how God's blessed my businesses. I ain't saying I got it always right, but there are some people call and say, I don't trust nobody but you. That's a blessing. How many other people out here they can buy this stuff from? Hundreds of thousands. But they only want to work with me. It's not because I was great. It's the oil that's on my life. Where does the oil come from? The offering. And the offering, when it's consumed, it turns to oil. And that oil does what? Get me more fat. Oh, come on. Y'all don't see the circle? Yeah. You can eat. I ain't saying don't eat none of the fat. You just can't consume all of it. We all, if you look biologically, all of our bodies need what? Some fat. That's how we operate. It's our energy. But if you eat too much of it, it kills you. And that's our problem. The Bible said anything in what? Moderation. I know some teach, you know, this extreme that you can't have none of it, and that's not biblical. Now, I know some people do that because they're trying to help people from themselves, right? But that's not biblical. We live in a society now, I tell you, some people are going to look it up. So I better know what I'm talking about. So here, moderation. Yes, you can enjoy some of the things. We just don't do it all the time. I don't live lavishly all the time. Every now and then, I splurge. Every now and then, you should splurge. You just can't do it every day. You see what I'm saying? And as you build up, you can do more and more and more and be able to help somebody else. Plant seeds in somebody else's yard and watch them come up. I'm almost done. Last thing I want to point out here. Last thing in this yard. We have to be careful of the Robin Hood spirit. Do you know what the Robin Hood spirit is? If you remember the stories of Robin Hood, what did Robin Hood do? Robin Hood was one who took from the wealthy and he gave it to the poor. Now, most in the hood and ghetto, Robin Hood would be that guy. Yeah, he saved us. He got us what we needed. He did these things, and these things are true. However, the means by which he did things did not justify the ends. Some of us found ourselves in a position where, well, Pastor, I did this because I knew it was going to help this person do this. And I get that, but did you do it the right way? Doing things the right way matters. Why? It mattered to those two boys. They wanted to do it. They just didn't want to do it the right way. They were priests. They were working in their office. That was their job. They weren't doing things they weren't called to do. They knew the right way to do it, but they wanted a shortcut. Instead of offering what God told them to offer, they wanted to do it a little faster. They wanted to do it their way. And they said, okay, well, either at the end of the day, it's still fire, and the fire is going to consume it. That's what their thought was, right? And we saw what happened. It didn't work that way. And in fact, the Bible called it what? Strange fire. What's in the gap matters. You cannot be strange fire. Strange fire meaning that what? I don't know that fire, because that fire is of what? It's of man. That fire is man-made. That place or that situation you're in is something that you created. I didn't do it. And see, this is the thing. If God does it, he's obligated to see you to the end. Did y'all not know that? If God truly does it, he ordains it, he's obligated to see you to the end. And if he didn't, then that's on you. And we got to be careful. Are we creating these situations or are they God's situations? And, you know, God has been merciful to us and he allows his, you know, he has his perfect will, then he has his permissive will. And the permissive will is the will of God where he allows us to do things. Amen. He allows us to choose who we want to marry. Oh, come on. Somebody said, you know, that's it. When God told me to marry this person, they end in a divorce. You going to tell me that's God? I'm just saying. Because whatever he do is what? Perfect. So what that tells me, what God allows us to pick our mates, he allows us and he gives us grace on that. Amen. He allows us. You get to choose what you want. It's saying you like what you like. Do you see what I'm saying? But also know that was your choice. So now what? You ask for the grace to endure and you go forward. Amen. So, you know, as much as I love this woman right here and I saw her, I chose her. I prayed about it. So, Lord, is this going to be okay? He didn't say anything different as far as I knew. But at the end of the day, he let me make that choice. It's called empowerment. He empowered. God is a God of free choice. No, I don't want people killing babies, but it's really their choice. Because people who want to abort people, it's not really a legislative issue. It's a heart issue. Whether you can do it or not, because they tell me in the early 80s, but early 60s, 70s, people were doing them in the streets anyway. They were just dying faster because they were catching infections and all kinds of stuff. And I know this is not a popular stance, but my Bible tells me that everybody has free choice. And that means you got to decide. He said, on you this day, choose who you're going to serve. You choose. And all I'm supposed to do is what? Stand forward. And I made sure. And that's why he said, but for me and my house, we have decided that we're going to serve the Lord. It's a choice. All of this is about choices. And the better choices you make, the better consequences you get. And it's called accountability. And this is how we work in accountability. So this year, as we stand in the gap, you know, can't have the Robin Hood spirit. Yeah, I got him here and I tricked him here. No, we don't trick people to come to the safe house. The God said, look, we're going to ask. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to love people because that's what we are. We like to eat. We like to have a good time. You know, we're a bunch of young folk. We just going forward. And he said what? He said, teach it and I will draw all men unto me. Because if he don't draw them, they're not going to stay. So if I got to have a party for everybody to come, that means I got to have a party every week. We can't afford that. If I got to have the off-the-chain musicians, that means our whole budget is going to go to that. We can't afford that. It'd be nice. I would love to have some. But if ain't what God got us, then what? We're going to sit here and we're going to see the dust come up out the floor and all. Because I've been there before and I know how it ends. And I know how it ends in the sense that, you know, God works it out. And when it's time for us to have those kind of things and people, if that's what he wants us to have, we'll have them. I believe that. Until then, we're going to stomp and see the dust come out of the floor. We're going to play iTunes or whatever it is we got to do. Because what, it's not about that. It's about what us coming together and sharing these shared experiences among each other. And the testimonies building each other. To see Brother Lee's building is being built. And he's getting married. And to see Jared coming out and Jared coming better. And Sister Taylor graduating and doing what she's doing. And see Brother Alice's business is flourishing. And seeing me being promoted. And seeing God open up doors for my wife and Sister Jordan and our children doing well and all these things. This is what it's about. And we don't hold these experiences. We come back and brother, and as I even see him on here, Brother Perry, you know what I'm saying, going to school and getting his GED and encouraging others to go to school now and get their GEDs and God blessing them with babies and jobs and oh, come on somebody. This has all happened this past year here in the safe house. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's what's standing in the gap. So now we stood in the gap for each other. Now we got to stand in the gap for somebody else. And I'm going to end on this song. You know, Take Six. You know, y'all remember this group back in the day called Boys to Men. Before Boys to Men, it was this group called Take Six. They were the real Boys to Men before the Boys to Men. Uh-huh. Amen. And Take Six sung gospel. They had one song that I just absolutely love. They said, eating the world's best cafe. And then in the song, what they do, they go through this whole thing. You know, they sing in harmony and all this stuff. Brian McKnight's brother is actually one of the lead singers in there. So, you know, they absolutely are talented people. And in the song, God talks about, he goes to this restaurant and he goes in there and he eats this food. And he eats this food and he's talking about how good it was, the best he ever had, this and that. So he said when he got done, he was ready to pay the waiter. And the waiter told him that you don't pay me. The way you pay me is you invite somebody else. Oh, come on, somebody. And when the waiter said, you invite somebody else. So what they do is, it's called the world's greatest food and the greatest cafe or something like that. But anyway, at some point what happens is, the way you do it is you go in there, we all believers. And now that we tasted it and we saw how good it was our job to go tell somebody else. And I just don't see how we as believers, as good as God has been to us, why do we keep this to ourselves? And I was telling somebody the other day, I was thinking about, you know, I've hit some rough patches in the last year or two, and I was sitting there thinking, I don't know how people outside of this deal with this. I know how hard it was for me, and I believe God with everything in me. For those who don't believe God, nobody want to jump off bridges and blow their brains out, because this is hard. This is hard. So now I'm going to tell you, look, I got him. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. I got a coping mechanism. I got somebody who's going to protect me, who's going to love me, who's going to pull on me, who's going to strengthen me, going to put his arms around me. And what I'm trying to tell you, the brothers and sisters today, is you're standing in the gap. And it just can't be anything. You can't take shortcuts. I'm not saying it's easy. You can't take the shortcuts. It's going to cost you. It's going to be a price that's paid. But Jesus paid it all. And he's going to give you exactly what you need to keep paying the price. And you get fringe benefits of that. You get some of it. You get to eat some of the fat. And as a result of that, then what? You can't be Robin Hooding it. You can't just do it that way and say, hey, this is what you got to do it the way he asked you to do it. And you'll see the results that you expect when you get. God bless you all this morning. I love you all. I hope that this message has found you where you are, that this has inspired you to think about things a little differently. That in Leviticus 10, what happened is, these guys, they were doing the right thing at the right time, but they did it the wrong way, with the wrong attitude, with the wrong spirit, or wanted to shortchange what God has set up. And God had to get them. Why? Because they were setting an example for the other people. People are going to come to this place, not because I'm a great preacher, because there's certain people who can preach better, definitely sing better, but they're going to come, why? Because they notice there's something different about you. It's something different about this place. You know, why are the young people drawn here? Why are the Johns and the Parises and the Taylors and the Jareds and why are the young folk want to come here? Because it's something different. It's something authentic about this place. It's something genuine about this place that says, hey, you know what? I understand you've been where you've been. You've gone what you've gone through. But God still cares for you. There's still hope that we are walking by faith and not by sight. We don't know everything. We haven't dotted every I. We haven't crossed every T. But silver and gold have I know. But what I do have, I give to you freely. All these young people are looking for some direction. All these young people are looking for somebody to say, you know what, you can make it. Because they're not getting it from the other generation before them. They're not. I'm in the schools. You're in the schools. We're in these places. We see these kids. They just want somebody to say, baby, it's going to be all right. And that's us standing in the gap. This is the year of the gap. So what is going to cost you? Everything. But what you going to get out of it? Everything. God bless you. I love you. I'm done.